The following program is brought to you by Tim Elins and Paul Edwards.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with Tim Elins and Paul Edwards on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Tim Elins and Paul Edwards and Left, Right, and You.
Well, hello, everyone. Are we on? Okay, there we go. You didn't point at me. You were supposed to point at me. Yeah, there you go.
But Dave,
I'm
that's
used
not,
to somebody you, pointing at me. But
Dave, you don't usually use that finger.
What? So, you hello, everybody. This is Tim Elins, and I'm here without Paul this week. Paul is out west somewhere.
No. Now, come on. Be
he's
honest.
Out west.
He's in Hawaii.
This is far
that
west.
That could be
as
east.
Could go.
Yeah, but what's? Come yeah. on. We all know what happened. Donald Trump has sent Paul on a secret mission to find the president's birth certificate.
Or take pictures of him and the president, Donald Trump, in Kenya when
yeah,
they were kids.
Well, that's even further west, though, Tim.
So, well, we're here once again with the great Jeff Ward and the Honorable.
Thank you.
Do they call you Honorable as a council member?
That would be that would be stretching it, man.
Alan yeah. Skillcorn?
That's what the envelopes say.
Do they call you trustee? What do they call you? Do they call you
as a precinct committeeman, they call me honorable.
Honorable, okay.
The reasonably competent?
The reasonably competent. These two gentlemen are going to be, in the future now, our show is going to change a little bit. They're going to be sitting in as hosts going forward. Paul and I are still going to be around for a while. And we're going to be like the five, but we'll be like the four. For a while, next couple weeks, and we'll see what happens when Paul gets back. We're going to sit down and talk, and we'll have a little bit more lively. Since we don't get a lot of callers, we get that guy Jeff that calls in, mm-hmm. and Dan Karras, I know you're listening because you always do. I like to hear what he has to say. I mean, we have a lot of things to talk about.
We do. And let me say, it's a
sure.
You bestow a great honor upon Alan and I, and we
hope
that. Well,
but you don't have very realistic goals, do you?
Thank you, though.
I'm kidding.
You bestow a great honor on us, and we will endeavor to live up what you and Paul have built, to live
you,
up to
you
what
guys
you and Paul have built.
Been great, great guest hosts.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful. He's pointing his finger at me.
And it's that finger.
I think he's trying to say that yeah. we make a great team, and Jeff and I are not a pair of apes.
No. Well, barely.
Pair of apes. You're both pretty much on the opposite ends of the spectrum, and I was thinking that there is probably a local politician that was probably happy to hear that Paul and I were going to get some guests.
Actually, I think I bumped into one of his Facebook aliases today.
Does he have aliases? His
yes, name? I found yeah. Some comments from somebody with a Facebook profile that was very incomplete.
On our website?
On another website referring to the show. It was very interesting.
Oh, okay.
But I hate to tell the good senator that, you know, as he well knows, I think I might just have to pick up exactly where you left off, Tim.
I was just going to say, you kind of picked up another media source to hold him accountable, basically, because you have another media source.
Yes, we have mentioned my blog, thefirstward.net.
And since this is a private show,
mm-hmm.
it's a brokered show that we all own here.
Correct.
He can't really dictate to us.
No, he cannot.
He can't tell us anything.
It's also a free country. But you know what? You guys can pick on this guy. But you know what? I think we have bigger fish to fry.
Well,
yeah. But you got to tell me about that at the break.
But Ms. The good senator.
Because I've been picking up a lot of friends lately. And I don't know what
that is.
They're good, not scantily clad girls, you know, anymore.
Oh, so. I just envisioned the senator scantily clad. I'm going to have to go wash my mind out with soap.
You have to ask his girlfriend about that.
This is not the CIA, guys.
Yeah.
Okay?
But no, the good senator does occasionally phone my editors to voice his displeasure.
Yeah,
the Courier News, of course.
And I'm sure they take everything he says.
Oh, yes, yeah. they do. So. And they say,
well, we got so much more to talk about.
We
so,
do.
So the Democrats but swooped.
Sweat, man.
So you have a guest, right? Who's a guest coming up?
Yeah, actually, in a little bit, Kirk Dillard, who's going to be calling us, Senator Kirk Dillard. There's also some talk of him running for the governor of the state of Illinois. He's going to be giving us a call in just a little bit.
Hey, can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
What do you think's going to happen? Do you think the Republicans are going to do another replay of, what year was it?
Of 2010.
It's 2010 or is it 2009?
Yeah, 2010. Yeah, 2010. 2010. Yeah, it actually looks like it might be shaping up that way. It looks like you've got a, you know, just like last Tuesday when we talked to Representative Randy Ramey, I asked if, you know, we 17 guys running from DuPage County for governor was too much. And it kind of sounds that way, that we're going to have a busy field. You know, I haven't heard any rumors of anyone saying they're not going to run. I'll tell you that.
Well, I know Bill Brady said he's running.
He is.
And there's a guy named Shock. Is that his name?
Yeah, there's a Congressman Aaron Schock is rumored to run. Okay. Even though I actually don't think that that's what he's going to do, and it happens to deal with how the PAC rules come, you know, work, is that he can't spend his federal money in a state race. Now, he's a very, you know, if people out there don't know who Congressman Aaron Schock is, he was on the cover.
He's the youngest congressman, isn't
he? He's the youngest congressman. He was also on the cover of Men's Health with the six-pack of abs. And he could be a very prolific fundraiser, but I have a feeling that he's happy in Washington, D.C., and not
is
too interested coming.
Is he a super wealthy guy? Who's the guy who's super wealthy?
Super wealthy guy is, that's Rahm Emanuel's guy.
He's a Republican?
You know, his name's on the tip of my tongue.
Well, you know,
but he was very critical of the teachers union during the strike.
Yes.
And he's a big fundraiser for Rahm Emanuel. He happens to be Republican.
He's a Republican.
We'll wait and see what happens there. It could be like the, you know, there's always a rich guy like Andy McKenna or something that gets in.
Well, the rich guy I want to see is Scott Cohen.
Scott Cohen.
Anybody that hangs out with a woman he doesn't know is a hooker. That's my guy.
I think isn't it Scott Lee Cohen?
I have been to Colorado, but no, I am not stoned.
Is he running again?
I don't know. I'm pulling for him to run. Actually, Dan Rutherford is the guy I would easily vote for.
I heard he's got a lot of baggage.
Well,
Dan Rutherford, I mean, he's a top vote getter of any Republican, statewide, elected officer.
Mitt Romney's Illinois person for, you know, better or worse.
Yeah, I actually read something over the weekend that he was quite criticized for that loss. I don't know if that's appropriate, but there's a couple things I would have done differently if I were him. We're going to get into that as
there
we talk
was
about
no
that.
Way he was
I was
going to
say that. Well, you
every
could,
other
well,
state
the
went
listeners
for
couldn't
Barack
see my
Obama.
Face when I went, but.
No, I will get into that when we get into the reasons Illinois lost, or the Illinois Republicans lost so badly.
Okay.
Because I think that's a component, but I don't think he's to blame to that.
No,
you know,
absolutely not.
No.
I don't think he planned it as well as I would if I was in his shoes, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Three more points. But, what difference would it have made?
Yeah, but, well, three more points would have made a difference in all of those districts that lost. You know, there's a lot of suburban districts that went Democrat, which 1, 2, 3 points would have made a big difference.
Dole.
I mean, that's by like half a percentage point.
I
think they both have 50%.
I predicted it, but still.
Wrong about anything this election?
No.
You predicted everyone.
No, whoa.
Wait. Were you just copying off Nate Silver?
I waded into that we're contested.
Okay.
Yes.
I saw your endorsements, and that was a crapshoot.
You don't endorse. Do you?
Well, on the blog I do, but don't tell my newspaper.
Okay.
Are you some partisan hack?
No, the Admiral will.
If you saw my endorsements, you'd probably go, the guy's schizophrenic. We said it anyway.
You know, I think you're the average guy that splits tickets.
Yeah. But can I ask you a question, Alan? Are you moving to Canada?
Well, you know, here's what's interesting is Canada is very interesting.
That's what I'm hearing, that all these people can't stand former years. Come on, Chuck Norris said 1,000 years of darkness, man. Dave's wearing black. Tim's wearing black. You know,
here's the reality.
I'm curious. The joke, of course, is Canada's one of the most liberal countries on the planet. So,
I don't know if that's terribly true. But here's the reality. I want a home. I can't afford to move. You know, it doesn't matter what goes on. I can't afford to move.
I see Chuck Norris moving in with Alec Baldwin.
How many Canadians are there? 30, 35?
35 million as of sometime in January.
I thought 30. I meant 30, not 30 million.
That's
30.
Canada has a population clock. There's a website. And sometime in January, they're going to hit 35 million people.
Do you realize that our Salvation Army could kick their butt in a war?
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Our female Republicans could kick their butt in a war. That's Jay Coco in the background, folks. But you know, all these people are moving to Canada, so I was just curious if Alan was going to give up and join. There was another conservative blogger who said he would never talk to his Democratic friends again. And, of course, Rich Santorum says that Elton John and all the homosexuals somehow stole this election. So
I thought it was Madonna.
But she's not gay.
Oh, that's right.
But here's
wait a minute. Depends what day of the week it is.
Guys, let's not forget one thing about Canada. It's not that liberal. Because look at fiscally. They don't have a mortgage interest deduction. They don't have Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. They don't have all these mortgage issues that we have.
They didn't bet on mortgages like that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But we've always had this. We've had this for a long period of time, and we've tried to subsidize these things, and it just hasn't worked out very well. Where Canada never got into those issues, and in some ways might be more fiscally conservative.
I didn't think you really were, but conservatives are throwing a hissy fit, and I just kind of wanted you to wait in on
that. What can we do? You know, people, that's what they want. People ultimately get the government they deserve. So if that's what they want, that's what they're going to get.
But I don't. And by the way, Tim, I am of Canadian descent, believe it or not. So if you hear me saying,
gentlemen, since we're talking about Canada here, let's change the topic 100% here and go to Senator Kirk Dillard, who is calling in. Kirk, are you there?
I am, Helen, and nice to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in to Left, Right, and You here in Elgin. We're glad to hear you, and you're always welcome in Kane County and Elgin. And we just wanted to, I guess there's a rumor going around that you wanted to run for governor or something about an intern?
The rumor about formally announcing for governor is premature. You know, I ran last time and lost by 193 votes in the Republican primary to my friend and colleague, Senator Bill Brady, and was determined to make Illinois work again in the year 2010 when that primary was. It hasn't gotten any better. So now that this election is over and while the dust settles, I am moving around the state talking to political and civic and governmental leaders and people and trying to figure out, whether I will run again, although most likely that I will.
Okay, so it sounds like a non-committal, but kind of yes.
And not only am I going around trying to ascertain whether I'm going to run for governor, I'm asking for solutions, what's on their mind, and how do we make this state and the Republican Party work again.
And what are some of the policies you think that would really bring Illinois back up the curve? You know, instead of 48th, 49th in job creation and debt, how are you going to bring us up that curve?
Well, the first thing we've got to do, because you mentioned debt, is fix this pension system, this public pension system that makes us the state with the most amount of debt in America. Businesses will not expand. They will not move here knowing, Alan, that they're going to perhaps be on the line for this incredible amount of debt we have. So we've got to solve this problem. And Governor Quinn's been the governor now for 4 years. It's unbelievable to me that he, in a Democrat legislature controlled, by them, mostly Chicago Democrats, hasn't solved this problem. We've got a little two-week window opening in January when I think this problem is politically easiest to solve, and it's got to be done. And then the other answer to your question, and I'm a Republican, I believe the best way to put money in the state treasury, no tax, state is ever taxed or borrowed its way to prosperity, is to get your economy moving, put people to work so that they voluntarily are out spending money, seeing movies and taking their families or children out for dinner, and you put money in the state treasury by having your economy move, not by taxing people more or borrowing. And we've got to reduce the cost of doing business in this state, change our reputation, and get the state's fiscal house in order, because we're scaring job creators out of here.
But Senator Jeff Ward, your favorite columnist,
hey,
and
Jeff.
Don't tell me I'm not.
That sounds like an endorsement.
But Senator, to take a step back, you're absolutely right, and I tend towards Republicanism, though I'm a moderate. But the first thing you guys got to do is get elected. And you talk about Pat Quinn, but here's a governor that said, "Hey, I'm going to raise taxes." And he didn't exactly wipe the floor, but he took out Bill Brady. Bob Dole lost. I mean, I see the – what does the – before you can change things, Jim Oberweis has lamented to me that he's going down there with very few Republicans. What do Illinois – considering this budget quagmire, what do Illinois Republicans have to do to get frickin' elected?
Well, we need to not change our message, but to accentuate, especially to the changing demographics of our area. And in Elgin, you certainly understand changing demographics. In DuPage County, where I come from, that's Wheaton and Naperville, a county of a million people, perhaps in the minds of many, although, there are lots of upper middle class counties in our area. a quintessential place. But 28% of the people in DuPage County were born outside of the United States of America. And a third of us, a third of our homes in this county speak a language at night other than English. Mm-hmm. And we need to, and we're not just talking Latino immigrants to our country. My grandfather was a German immigrant who worked in a factory by Midway Airport when he immigrated here. But we need to remind them that we need to say, look, the Republican Party is the reason you came to America. We are the ones that will ensure that we have manufacturing jobs and good manufacturing jobs. We care about education. We certainly care about public safety and are tougher, I believe, on street gangs and other things than anyone else. And we cherish the entrepreneurship that these immigrants bring. And then we need to remember, too, while the focus is on Hispanics, in a place like Illinois or in my district, I have a 20% Asian American population, mm-hmm. Filipinos, and in Naperville, 6,000 Chinese immigrants. Those immigrants, while they don't come from Latin America or Mexico, if the Republican Party is viewed as harsh with respect to immigration, they take that personally as well. And then Eastern Europeans. And, I go to Costco, I go to Walmart. When I walk around and push my cart around those places, those big box behemoth places, mm-hmm. I'll look around and the people will look just like me. They'll look just like you, Jeff. But they are from Eastern Europe. And to those people, and they are entrepreneurs, and they came for all the reasons my grandfather came here or someone from Mexico came here because they wanted a job and they wanted a better life for their families. Those folks need to be reminded that it was Ronald Reagan, a Republican, who insisted that Gorbachev tear down that Berlin Wall or they wouldn't be here. So the Republicans really ought to have the upper hand with our new immigrant population here. And for some reason, if you look at those numbers, we're being slaughtered.
Now, Senator, the reason you realize the Tea Party is now marching on your home as we speak. I mean, you didn't say the word inclusive, but you certainly hinted at it. I'll grant Tim.
If I could just ask one question, yeah. Senator. This is Tim Elins. We've met a couple times. You probably don't remember me, but...
But Tim, you're unforgettable.
That's okay.
But
that's
he's a okay. Democrat, so
yeah.
He was the guy with the hat.
I'm what Jeff refers to as a blue dog.
Yes.
If you ask Mike Nolan, he says I'm a Republican, but that's
he just calls
he's
you a dog.
To his opinion. But I want to read something I wrote on Facebook, and I just wanted to get your opinion. I was thinking about it this week. We have a man from Chicago. Says for Chicago. My typing's terrible. Uh-huh. That's in the White House. Okay. Cook County, Chicago, and the number two guy in the Senate in the Democratic Party in the U.S. Senate is from Illinois. We have a moderate Republican, Mark Kirk, who works with both sides of the aisle.
Right.
We have a Democrat in the governor's mansion, a Democrat-controlled House and Senate. It was before the election. A ton of Democratic congressmen and women, not to mention a large portion of the president's cabinet and advisors in the White House are from Chicago. Cook County government is 17-4. There's four Republicans in Cook County government.
I think you're trying to cheer them up.
This is legitimate. This is legitimate. We, like I said, neighbors and colleagues work in the executive branch. How in the world could we be the worst state per capita in debt? And we reelect more Democrats into the state.
Well, that's
House.
That's why you answered your own question. But go ahead, Senator.
You know, I asked that same question, and it is mind-boggling. It's Republican messaging. The remap, when I look at the last Tuesday's election results, I do blame half of that on the remap. I blame a lot of it on our inability to connect with our newfound American, colleagues from different places in the world that have chosen to move here. But the remap was a lot of that problem, but mm-hmm. messaging is a huge portion of it as well. I'm just stunned because, as former President Clinton said, it was the economy, stupid. Anybody that really cared about the economy would never vote to let these people run either the state of Illinois or Washington, D.C., and then our private sector. If you think 1.7% growth is enough, you know, I'm not sure I want you at, you know, working for my company, because 1.7% growth is unacceptable to those of us that that care about the future of America. So I ask that same question myself, and I shake my head.
Senator Dillard, I have a question for you. By the way, I'm Dave. I'm the guy who pushed the buttons. You worked as the chief of the staff to former Governor Jim Edgar. You worked with former Governor Jim Thompson, two Republicans in the Democratic, you know, USA. What have you taken away from both those governors?
Well, they're two very different men, two very different styles, and they governed in very different times. I mean, Governor Edgar, I was his chief of staff. We had inherited a $1 billion deficit in a recession, and Governor Edgar made some very difficult decisions. He eliminated his first year, and he was nicknamed Edgar Scissorhands, like the movie. We eliminated something called general assistance. We used to give a $500 a month check to single able-bodied people if they were unemployed in Illinois. So we completely eliminated, in its totality, a welfare program. I mean, Jim Edgar threw nickels around like they were manhole covers. He prioritized well. You know, we put our money into programs that benefited children. The Department of Children and Family Services was a mess when he took over. He straightened it out. He really put a focus on adoptions, and we led America in the number of adoptions that we have in our state. So Edgar managed well. He prioritized well. He was not glitzy. You know, I would submit that less regulation and the more that government stays out of your business, the better off you are. We had an unemployment rate that was lower than the national average, and Governor Edgar paid his bills, or paid the, on behalf of the state of Illinois, our bills in 17 days. It could take 17 months to get reimbursed sometimes in the state of Illinois. In fact, I just had a dental bill of mine, and my dentist was paid 15 months after the service. And, you know, I'm fine. But how about your local hospital or your local nursing home in Carpentersville, who aren't being paid for months? Or the University of Illinois, which we owe hundreds of millions of dollars to, and you wonder why tuition is going up. So, you know, I learned how to manage, and I learned that you can't be all things to all people, and that all that glitters is not gold, from Governor Edgar. And, you know, and you got to be tough. Edgar kept the General Assembly in session his first year as governor an extra month because he was not satisfied that Mike Madigan had a balanced budget, and he wanted it balanced to the penny. Wow, what a change that would be.
Yep.
So from Edgar I learned, you know, being governor is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. It's 365 days a year. The poor guy had, you know, he had an angioplasty and an open-heart surgery while he was governor, and he managed and worked hard every day. It's like running General Motors Corporation. You know, you have 70,000 state employees, and you know, you got to be tough with folks, and so I learned. I learned a lot from them, and you know, there is something to be said for, you know, for experience. And I'm not ever talking about going back. I look forward, but experience does matter, and he was a good role model for me.
That's true. And Senator, we're running close to a break here, but I'm kind of curious. You won your election last Tuesday, but five of your colleagues did not, and the Sun-Times basically said that the Illinois GOP, there was a bloodbath. What's your perspective of what went wrong and what you did differently?
You know, I think I said it earlier. I blame half of it on the map, about 30% on our messaging with respect to, you know, the changing demographics of Illinois, and we'll have to figure out the rest and how we get our message that we're the better party for job creation across in a clearer fashion. And part of that is probably to end the, you know, the clutter of issues, the white noise that sometimes Republicans put forth out there, so we can just hone in on our economic message. Before you go to break, I want to say one other thing. I followed James Pate Phillip you know, the longstanding president of the state Senate as the Republican chairman in DuPage County. And when I came in for my 4 years, I instantly did focus groups with Latinos and with independent women. And when I left, and you never change your message, it's about how you get it across better. I mean, we do not need two Democratic parties in Illinois. The Republican party is sound on our issues. We just need to communicate better. But there were 32,000 more people taking a Republican primary ballot in DuPage County when I left as county chairman than when I took over. And I also sent one piece shaped like a light switch to people that I knew used to be Republicans who took Democratic ballots, and I asked them, why did you switch? And I received 800 letters back from people explaining why they switched, and we tailored and made sure that our message got across. And that it is possible to turn, just in my own county, 32,000 more Republican primary ballot takers when I left than when I took over. So we need to assess where
That sounds very interesting, and I think maybe that could be a topic for another show.
Yeah, and Senator, my suggestion would be for Republicans to avoid the subjects of rape and the female reproductive system.
The senator, the Indiana gentleman should have learned from the Missouri gentleman.
As Mr. Walsh should have. But thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Senator.
Yes, and thank you for coming on. And yeah, you're obviously welcome again. And it sounds like you've got a fun time ahead in the Senate because, you know, there's leadership battles and there's not many senators. So you've got your work cut out for you this upcoming session.
I always love coming out to the Fox River Valley area. It's one of the most beautiful places and it's got the best people in the state. So
thanks for having me on. Thank you, sir.
Really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you for your time.
Talk to you soon. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Left, Right, and You on WRMN 1410. We'll be back with more right after this. Don't go away.
As a small business owner, I've learned to rely on my vendors, not just for their supplies, but rather for their expertise they have in their field. When it came to providing healthcare solutions for my family and my staff, I needed a company I could trust. That's why I turned to Benefits Age, the employee benefits specialists. Benefits Age is an independent insurance brokerage that finds coverage for their clients' needs. They took the time to learn what was important to me and my staff and then put together a comprehensive wellness plan, including medical, dental, life, and disability coverage that met our needs. So if you're looking for someone you can trust with the well-being of your family and your staff, call Benefits Age at 800-317-0181. Once again, you can reach Benefits Age at 1-800-317-0181 or online at www.benefitsage.com. If you're anything like me, you get confused by Blu-ray, HD, CD, HD, DVD, USB, MP3. I mean, really, who knows what all these mean? Well, I'll tell you who. Failsafe Media Company does. These guys started out duplicating floppy disks back in 1983, and now are the leaders in electronic media duplication, replication, packaging, and distribution. So if you're looking for an expert who's been there every step of the way, contact Rollo of Failsafe Media at 800-537-1919 or visit him at www.failsafeinc.com. Remember, if you want your electronic media duplication, replication, packaging, and distribution done right, go to Failsafe. Did you know that by raising expectations, you can change the life of a child? That's exactly what Gigi's Playhouse, a Down Syndrome Awareness Center, strives to do. By helping all children and adults reach their highest potential, Gigi's is changing the way the world views Down Syndrome. All of the programs are free and educational in nature. Each of them are designed to work on specific skill development and are run by qualified volunteers. There are 9 Gigi's Playhouses around the nation, 5 in Chicagoland, 1 in New York, 1 in Atlanta, and 2 in Iowa, and more opening soon. On February 26, 2011, there will be a national gala event at each location on the same night. Please go to www.gigisplayhouse.org for more information and to get involved. today's challenging business climate, payroll, benefits, and lost production are some of the largest expenses facing companies today. Fortunately, Interactive Health Solutions, with their preventive care programs, have a proven track record of reducing health care premiums while improving the overall health of your workforce, resulting in cost savings, increased productivity, and a healthier, happier employee. For more information, visit us at www.interactivehealthsolutions.com or by phone at 847-754-2698. Remember, Interactive Health Solutions is your path to a happier, healthier, and more productive employee.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with Tim Elins and Paul Edwards on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Tim Elins and Paul Edwards and Left, Right, and You.
I mean,
no, did you point at me?
No, I did.
Jeff pointed. Jeff's a new pointer.
Yeah.
We give him papers.
I was actually pointing to Paul. Papers.
He points at a lot of people.
Paul.
Yeah. No, the only thing I'm going to say, you guys weren't on the air, but the only thing to say is winning the election and working on legislation sometimes are two different things. That's
yes,
all I want
yes
to say.
They are.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Jeff.
But you know, I figured our listeners, you know, I simply can't get enough of election recaps. And, you know, I think the Republicans got spanked. I mean, the popular vote was close. But Obama, if you told me Obama was going to win all 9 swing states, I would have told your wife to lock up the liquor cabinet. And I, you know.
They were talking about Romney winning Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And it wasn't even close.
So now we've got two distinct factions developing within the Republican Party. One is saying we weren't conservative enough and we didn't get our message out. The other side, the other group is saying, you know what, if we don't move to the center, you know, women, especially single women, voted for the president, and as did minorities, as did young people. Alan, what happened? How did this divergence from reality, and what do the Republicans need to do to have any shot in 4 years?
Well, Jeff, just to answer your question, is that, you know, obviously elections swing back and forth. In 2010, things swung to the right, mm-hmm. and this year they swung back to the left. You know, there's a window. You know, you call it an Overton window. Of what political reality is, and it always goes a little bit left, a little bit right, but basically it stays in the, you know, it kind of stays close to the center. It kind of self-rights itself.
But 71% of Hispanics, that's going to be hard to overcome the way this country's
going.
Well,
if you did look at the numbers, George Bush had quite a few Hispanics.
Yeah, he did.
McCain, well, from Arizona, had quite a few. Romney, Northeastern guy, and he didn't have many. I don't know. I don't think it was really his comments during debates, because he was seen to be the most anti-immigration out of all the candidates. If you recall, I mean, Rick Perry said that he was uncompassionate towards immigrants. I mean, that was kind of a big charge, and Perry took some heat from the, you know, the people who are very passionate about immigration.
I mean, Romney was to the right of Perry for a while, but then, of course, he...
That's correct. Swung. That's correct. And it's odd, because Romney's father, George Romney, actually marched, you know, with the NAACP, you know, in the civil rights movement. It's kind of interesting that it took quite a swing, even though I think the topic of immigration is a little bit different. I think it's more about welfare than immigration, and it always has been. So we actually have a caller.
We have a caller, Julie. I think Julie knows you, Alan. Julie, you're on Left, Right, and You.
Hello.
Hi, Alan.
How you doing, Julie?
Good. Wow. Amazing. So you're taking over, Alan. That's great.
Oh, we're just part of the team.
Yes.
Oh, okay, part of the team. Where is the women in this team here? I think there needs to be a little more diversity.
Women don't vote, so I don't think they have to be part of the
team. Oh, no. Yeah, very funny.
Well,
women
Julie,
do vote.
Julie, sometimes Dave wears a dress.
Does he?
Yes.
Well, that's
hi, Julie.
And let record reflect, I am wearing pink.
I guess it would be completely...
Okay, well, you are a confident man in your masculinity there. I wear pink, I tell you.
And Coco, who's in the studio audience, is also wearing pink. Yeah. But yeah, I don't think I've ever seen him not wear pink.
I can see how I'm going to have to call in once in a while just to represent the female side of things. And I am a
conservative. We welcome it.
Well, what are the females saying?
Pardon?
What are the females saying right now?
Enlighten us, dark in the dark males.
Well, you know, it would take so long. I don't think you have a long enough program for that.
I guess
so,
it would be politically incorrect.
We're
going
to have to do this in little bite-sized pieces.
Increments.
Julie, I'm going to guess you want Judy Bartopinka to run.
No, not really. And I really don't, you know, no disrespect to Governor Dillard or to Senator Dillard. But if I have to hear that broken record again, I'm just going to puke. I'm sorry, but I just.
Why don't you tell us what you really feel?
Yeah, I know. Alan will tell you, I'm kind of into doing that a little bit because I'm just so, you know, the last election, the Republicans are going to take the completely wrong message from this and Senator Dillard completely talked about it. You know, we got to talk about economics. Don't talk about the social issues. I mean, it's just like, what? Did the left just give them their talking points or what? I don't know.
But Julie, you know, again, I am a moderate Jeff Ward. You know,
are you moderate, Jeff?
I am a moderate. If you saw my endorsement.
Are you sure you're not a Democrat?
I mean, there is
a party for that, you know.
I am absolutely positive, but, you know, the party of less government should stay out of people's bedrooms. And if they stayed out of people's bedrooms, they'd win more elections.
Well, how about the party of more government that's demanding certain things already that's in the bedroom? But nobody talks about that. The left does not take a pause on the social issues. They go double down on them.
But the left says these things, and the left is tax and spend, and then they do it. Republicans say they're the party of less government, but then they don't do it.
Well, yeah, I agree. That's because we really haven't had a lot of conservatives who are elected to office, and now they're all going to shift to the middle. They're going to say, oh, the message we have to get is more moderate. We have to get more moderate. And I'm like, there's a party for that. It's called the Democrats. Go over there. You know, Romney did not offer people an exciting alternative on the right to get up and get out.
Well, he wasn't very exciting. We can obviously agree on that.
Right.
No, he was not very exciting. I mean, I think the statistics are saying that people, if the same amount of people would have voted for McCain would have voted for Romney, Romney would have won. So where did all those people go and why did they go away? It's not because of the economic issues. He was not exciting, and the conservatives put their vote all the time.
McCain was a moderate in 2000. McCain was considered.
Wow. McCain was a moderate.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, McCain was a moderate. We lose. Yes, McCain was a moderate.
Well, he was also
a moderate.
Remember, Julie, he said 2000. He wasn't running.
But he was a moderate in 2008 also. Except for being the war hawk, he was a moderate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And moderates lose. Republicans don't get that message, though. And this is the message they're going to
get. But here's the thing, is I don't think people are looking for a moderate or liberal conservative. They're looking for a leader. And sometimes they transcend those labels.
But they're rare, I mean, that those leaders come along, and you still have to kind of fall back on the party at some point. And if the Republicans...
Well, yeah, but leaders have principles, and they articulate those principles in a consistent manner.
Right,
and none of these guys do that.
But when you have a slew of Republicans wading in about rape, which is baffling...
Well,
you know,
what is that anyway? That was a media setup. They get the clip and then they play it. Okay, that was a stupid statement. They shouldn't be talking about
a stupid
about
statement.
Those
there was
yeah,
Joe Walsh.
But you don't think the left makes stupid statements?
Oh, of course. But the left won.
Yeah. Well, the left only won by a very small percentage.
Not
that
in the electoral
in the middle.
Swings. Where they
The electoral college is the electoral college, and that's the way we do things.
If I'm not mistaken, this is the fourth time in the last 100 years that four presidents have won over 51% of the popular vote. He said this is like a record breaker. I think the last one was FDR.
It's not a record breaker. It's 51% to what, 48, 49? We have a very divided country, and there's a small swing in the middle.
Well, Julie, who would you suggest then running for governor in Illinois?
I'd like somebody totally different that isn't even on the radar.
Timmy Lenz?
That'd be great. Jeff, how about you, Jeff? There. No, you're moderate. I'm sorry.
But I'm a raging fiscal conservative, man.
Yeah, well, that's great, but you're probably moderate or probably liberal on the social
issues. I'm moderate
issues.
On
Julie,
social issues,
let me ask you a question. This is Tim Elens. Let me ask you a question because you're fascinating me here.
Thanks. This is great. I'm calling you guys more often.
30 seconds or less, or a minute or less. Take a minute if you want. What is your feeling? What should be the role of government in our lives? Or what is the role of government?
Well, federal government should be limited and small. It should do what it does, which is roads, defense, bridges, things like that. It should not be in health care, social services, all of these other things. What government should do is what the people can't do. you know, collectively together, like keep your, you know, defense up and things like that. It's constitutional. We have a document that defines this for us. It's called the Constitution of the United States. But there are 18 enumerated powers in Section 8, Article 1, and that's what the federal government should do. And everything else therein is just buying the goodies. It's like a third world country where you're going to have a chicken in every pot, or I don't know what else they want to do. And that's what's wrong, is they've gotten too invasive. They're right down into our very lives with Obamacare. They're going to decide life and death questions every day. They have way, way overstepped
but
their boundaries.
But isn't abortion the same thing? But I think we need to move on.
You
but,
tell everybody not to go
well,
on
this. Well, no, abortion,
I couldn't help
you again, social issues. Are you sure you want to go down that road?
No,
very special 2 hour left right in you here.
I think we'll have an opportunity to do share a little more of that. We only have an hour every time, so we'll have a great opportunity to do that. And I think there's some points that I think the average people don't understand. Someone like myself, who's a 30-something, post-Roe v. Wade, I think that we have a statement on this issue, and I think we'll get into it. Probably
Maybe
not today, though.
Julie back as a guest one day.
Sounds good to me.
I think we can do that sometime.
Come down to the studio.
Yes.
Happy
good.
To.
Good to hear
happy
from you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Keep tuning in. Tell your friends.
All right.
See, I was going to say, I guess it would be politically incorrect to say that we sent the women out to get us something to eat, but that would have probably not gone over very well, huh?
Unless you're really hungry, Tim.
Yeah. I was joking.
Okay.
So,
you know, some jokes are insensitive.
Yes, well, that's okay.
Like Dave.
So I think Jeff was trying to, try to get to us a little bit about what was going on with the election. Mm-hmm. And I think because, we only have 15 minutes left, I think we should probably just go into the whole Illinois part of the deal. And part of this is national, part of this is kind of state, what happened.
Julie said it was close, but it really wasn't.
Well, in Illinois, it was not close. No,
but I'm talking nationally. They focused on 9 states. We didn't see any commercials.
But was that about policy, or was that about a chess game?
Right. It was a chess game, Alan, but where they focused, where they battled, Obama won every single one.
Correct, but it was also because we had the Republicans, and I say we, but because I'm not advising these guys. Everyone knows that I'm not advising Mitt Romney or any of those big guys. But they are listening to people like Dick Morris and Karl Rove, who were wrong. Let's just plain out and say it.
I mean,
let's look at
R.
Let's look at it's a W.
See, I was wrong.
Read the post here. Read the post. I just got their post just as you said that.
Well.
Yeah, Dick Morris said it was going to be a landslide.
Yeah. Well, he flip-flopped it.
Oh, he's a flip-flop.
Yeah, somebody was just trying to copy off me by mentioning Dick Morris. Yeah. But let's look at the reality here. Dick Morris worked for Clinton during the 90s. He's working for the Republicans now. He's just in it for the money. And let's go
and
back
he's wrong.
To 2010.
Most of the time, he's wrong.
In 2010, he said Dick Morris wrote in his book and on his website that the Republicans were going to take the Senate. He was wrong on like 4 out of 5 of those races. This year he said, kind of the same stuff would be a big deal. Karl Rove, let's Republicans and conservatives
rate.
Out there, just so you know a little something about Karl Rove. I was once talking to a political, a guy who actually worked campaigns and such, and he actually went to something with Karl Rove, and they were kind of talking candidly. And Karl Rove basically said that politics is about buying votes. So he was advising George W. Bush to take certain policies in certain states because that's where some of the farm subsidies and things like that, so he could win those states. Karl Rove is no conservative, and he's not someone that conservatives should be taking advice from because he's not watching your back.
It's
he's
wrong.
Just making money.
Yeah.
He's making money off of the movement.
Yes.
So let's take a look at that. If you look at other polls like Nate Ziller.
I'll just let you know.
Go ahead. Let's
who
bring
do we
on.
Have, Dave? Okay. We have Teresa. Teresa, you're on left wing. You.
Another woman.
Yes, I hope to think so. Gentlemen, you're talking about what happened. Well, let me tell you this, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but 20 votes from 26 states were counted in Spain. There's a company that George Soros has an interest in, and they developed the software, and some of those, as I said, some of the votes from 26 states went to Spain, and they were counted over there, and I'm sure they were changed because I do not believe that this was an honest election. This was the dirtiest election we've ever had. And I don't believe that Obama won honestly at all. And look at the polls before that. They had, not that I love Romney, however, the polls were having him winning in many, many, many states. But
and
I'll
the
battleground
to,
states.
I'll take that of interest because there's an organization called Black Box Voting, and they look into some of this stuff, and there has been some interesting things. And
a lot of it.
And there obviously are experts, and you know what? Maybe that's one direction that we should go is one of these shows we can have. There is someone that in the suburbs deals with the specialty.
But Alan, do you really think, I mean, Teresa, God bless you. We love you calling in. Please do it more. But Alan, do you really, I mean, this election.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
I know that there's fraud that goes on. I see it. But I also poll watched, and I was in Elgin, and I saw Obama voter after Obama voter after Obama voter. And then later in the day, when I went up to Carpentersville and Dundee, there was nobody there. So, I mean, locally, I can see what happened. You know, and I was also working right next to my Democrat colleague, you know, Democrat, you know, counterpart in poll watching, and they had a more sophisticated system. And you know what? Next election, I'm going to copy it, of course.
Right.
But they had a better system. And they did a better job. Now, nationally, I can't comment. I don't know.
The Democrats' national ground game is better. But the same, Alan, same thing with Aurora. I looked it up today. 2010, 17% of Aurorans showed up to vote. This election, 58%.
Wow. Well, you know, but most of Kane County had 70% turnout. So, to give you an idea.
But it's just a difference.
Teresa, are you familiar with black box voting?
Black Box? No, I'm not.
Yeah, look them up there. I think it's blackboxvoting.com. It's very interesting stuff, and it'll probably help you out. And we might have someone, I'm not sure if it's from that organization, but I know a couple experts in voter fraud, because it does happen. I'm not sure. I can't quantify how much, but it does happen. But
it happens an awful lot, but unless we go back to the paper ballot, we're never going to have an honest election. And I was an election judge in Kane County. And everything was on the up and up. I never saw anything going wrong over there. But when I was an election judge in DuPage County, when we had the paper ballots, I had a Democrat standing over my back, and it didn't make any difference to me because I was honest. He said, "Boy, are you honest?" I said, "Well, is there any other way to be?" That's when we count.
Yeah, that's true. We want judges to be fair at every level.
They were paper ballots. Yeah, but they were paper ballots, and that's what we must go back to.
Hanging chads, Teresa. Hanging chads. We got to go.
Teresa, thanks for being a judge. It's a hard work, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Should we move on to I know Dave is dying to play the music. Should we
Joe
move
Walsh?
On to Joe Walsh?
Oh, he has a Joe Walsh clip?
Always. Whenever you see Joe Walsh.
I think we have to delay a little bit for him.
But well he'll bring it in. But again, you know, I predicted last time you and I were on together, I predicted Joe would lose. The system I adhere to actually hit the percentage dead on.
What was the percentage?
9 points.
Hmm.
Now, where did you base that from? I'm just curious.
You and I have a mutual friend who helps people get elected out of Oswego. We will not mention his name on the air. And
Tony.
He aggregates. There we go. Thank you, Dave. He aggregates data from various sources, and based on your primary propensities and using early voting stats.
I saw your article on this, but this is once early voting already began.
Correct.
And it was actually, when you posted that, I thought it was very enlightening. It was great information to have. And I would have, when I saw the district being drawn, I kind of predicted the same thing.
But it's a Republican district. It's called Schaumburg.
Schaumburg has gone fairly blue.
Schaumburg,
I think it's much,
Democrat, yeah.
You see, Tim thinks it's hard blue. I think it's more purple than people think. But, you know, it has kind of changed.
But Joe had 13-1 PAC money, if you trust the Duckworth campaign.
Actually, I've looked at it. It wasn't quite that.
Okay.
It's an exaggeration. But she, here's what it was, is that you had Now or Never PAC and a couple of Freedom Works came in.
Yep.
And they came in and spent a lot of money against her. Well, some of it was you see the red signs everywhere, which wasn't a very wise fiscal move. I mean, signs don't vote, but they cost a lot of money.
Right.
But they ran the commercials, and this is what I was sitting down with one of my advisors over the weekend, and he was telling me that when these guys come in, you know, because Now or Never PAC, they're from Missouri. One of the biggest funders is from Texas. They don't know anything about Schaumburg or Kane County or Wheaton or any of the parts the district went to. And they come in with this message, which they think is going to work, but they don't know. You know, it's kind of like up until recently.
They use polling.
But do they know anything on the ground? It's just like Tammy Duckworth's campaign came in. These people were from California and Washington, D.C. And up until the last minute, she was losing. Because they didn't know the district, they didn't know the people, they didn't know some of the what's intricate about it.
But more specific to Mr. Walsh, in your estimation, my favorite Tea Partier, is it the child support issue, the women don't die during childbirth, or maybe even his attempt to move to the middle at the end. What? I didn't expect Tammy to win by that much.
Well, did you read the article in the Daily Herald from Carrie Lester right after the election?
I bet I did.
Joe Walsh said that what he said about abortion and the medical needs was a misstep. And I think he's he should have been a little bit more serious with that. It was more than a misstep, but I think that's exactly what put it over the top. It was a close race, I think. It is interesting that we saw polling go both ways. And, let's go back to national for a second. Nate Silver, New York Times, he called it 100%. He was right every single
two race. He called two races.
But every state was right on the national and the presidential.
I'm reading his book, by the way.
Oh yeah, and he's just your rat. You know, he's not quite a mathematician, but he's a guy that just goes through the numbers and figures out aggregate polls. But look at his versus you look at other polling groups, and he was right on, but others said it was much closer than it was.
Right.
So. We always have to look for bias, and we have to be smart about what we believe.
Yeah, how much did getting, and maybe Tim, it still is your show.
It's not my show.
How much wishful thinking killed the Republican Party?
Aha.
Tim, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts of it is if the Republicans would have picked any other candidate other than Mitt Romney, they would have won the White House.
Rick Santorum?
I think Rick Santorum was a little bit to the right.
But let's go back. Bachman. Hey, you know what?
Michelle Bachman was never.
I want to dive into that. It seemed like I didn't vote for Mitt Romney in the primary, but I knew that he was the most moderate choice. And we live in a country that is center right, but not radical in any means. And right. If you pick someone too radical, it's just going to swing the other way.
But back to wishful thinking.
Well, but was I want skewed? I want to go dive into Tim's.
All right.
Other candidate? So you think Rick Santorum would have won? Mister, I can't remember my name. Rick Perry, Newt Gingrich. I want to build a moon base. Would
have
won.
I
like these guys.
It was almost as if the Republicans wanted to lose. I mean, it was unbelievable. Everything that they did was terrible.
If they keep inhaling Fox News
to this day, Julie, let's go back. Julie, if you're still listening. To this day, Mitt Romney still hasn't said that women should get equal pay for equal work. They've asked him that. They tried to corner him on that, and he doesn't answer the question.
And Romney wouldn't disavow Murdoch when he said
here's the thing.
He did.
People were waiting for the candidate for 2016. They were waiting for Chris Christie, or they're waiting for
Jeb Bush. Would have won.
Chris Christie may have won. Ann Coulter said that.
Marco Rubio would have won.
If Marco Rubio was the vice
president. Well, you notice that I bet you Marco Rubio turned down the vice presidential role. Yeah. I will bet you money he did. Yeah. Politico did an article.
Would you bet me $10,000?
Was leaving a podium, going to a next podium, changing his position three times in a
day.
But, Alan, I went unskewedpolls.com, and this guy, and Rick Perry tweets, it's good to have the real data, and we saw it wasn't. Republicans have got to come back to reality.
I agree. Well, there's a Politico did a piece, and one of our friends of the show, Robert Ceseda, emailed me this yesterday, and he said, check this out. This is kind of what happened. And that a lot of this is conservatives. Conservatives are kind of going to their own media, their own social media, right. And they're living in this world. And I actually see this within the Tea Party. A lot of Tea Party people, they get their information from Facebook and emails and things like that, but it's a very select, very small.
Narrow.
And we have to look at things in a wider view.
Well, no,
and
happened with the Republican Party, the Tea Party's driving the bus. Left has a bunch of whack jobs, too.
Yeah.
But they're not driving the bus.
But Michael Madigan is driving the bus, and he has no ideological...
Republicans still lose. And I would kiss...
You have strategists that value winning over ideology and the left.
Mark Kirk won the seat that was once ceded by President Obama in Illinois, which is supposed to be a blue state.
Yeah.
Scott Walker, I think, is the governor of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Won the state, won it back for the Republican Party. The vice president nominee, Paul Ryan, they didn't win Wisconsin. You think Wisconsin would have said, hey.
They didn't win Wisconsin or Massachusetts or Michigan.
Well, Massachusetts is, that's Barney Frank's hometown. That's a little land of, you know, very, very liberal, very, very blue. I mean, Mitt Romney, that's just the very liberal.
But they elected him governor.
Ted Kennedy, I mean, you know, yeah. These are very.
But that's when he was a liberal.
Yeah. Ted Kennedy is, you know, the land of streams.
He became a liberal again, Coco.
Exactly. No, but I mean, there's a very, very liberal, but I mean, Paul Ryan, they just came off a year ago of a governor's race where Scott Walker mm-hmm. took back the mansion and one of the most highly contested. Actually, Wisconsin has changed the United States. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin has changed dramatically because now you're going to see unions. You're going to see some big impacts on this election in Illinois now with the unions. He basically busted the unions, Scott mm-hmm. Walker, is what he did.
Even though we haven't seen that in Illinois. Look at the right. Chicago
we
School
haven't
Teacher
had an
Union.
Yet.
Well, but the yeah. CTU is very powerful. The unions are running commercials right now in all the Chicago markets.
Yes, you're right.
So I don't think we're going to see a swing either way, to be honest.
Well, Tim, you want to lead us out?
No. No, I don't. I just say goodbye. And
okay.
We'll all be here back here next week.
We will.
Right?
Well, I will be here.
This is our show, and we'll.
Thanks
this
again.
Was a good show.
It was.
It's a very good show.
Thank you to my co-host, Alan.
We have
Thank
a guest
you to
next week?
We'll talk about that in the meantime. Yeah. And if you can always follow me at Alan Skillcorn on Twitter, alanskillcorn.com,
the first ward.net.
Where is that
Buy
woman?
The Beacon and Courier News, people. Newspapers
Thank
keep
you,
them
everybody.
Honest.
Where's that woman with my lunch?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Kyle Cease, legendary comedian in the future, hopefully, if my plan works out. And you're listening to AM 1410, the only 1410 with AM in the front of it.
In Elgin.
From America's Radio News, I'm Bill Caiaccio. The sex scandal involving former CIA Director David Petraeus continues to grow. The AP's David Melendi reports tens of thousands of pages of documents and emails between the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan and a woman in Florida are being investigated.
A senior defense official tells the Associated Press the communications were flirtatious, but it isn't clear if General John Allen was flirting with Jill Kelly or whether she was the flirtatious one. Nor is the context clear, just kidding between close friends or something more. Defense